I went and I copied our assignment was to write the top assignment for the name. So I did that, and I forgot what class it was for, and so I stuck it in my notebook.
You don't have
the one at home, but I have since. So if I run home after class, I stick it in your mailbox, will it be counted as later?
If you can get it in my box. Okay, do you have a class after this class?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want you to miss the class
to
do that.
After.
Time you get home and back, aren't you going to be late for your next class? If you go between classes? Or do you mean after the next class? Okay. And then put it in my box. Okay, I don't leave here until 3 o'clock this afternoon, so if you can even just get it in my box by 3 o'clock this afternoon with a little note, that's fine. We'll be going over it in class today. What you may want to do, since you don't have it, is just kind of... I mean, if we mention anything that will help you, just go ahead and just take notes on it.
Okay.
Somebody left it?
Yes.
Yes, I'd put it in the back so that if somebody comes in, they could pick it up. And then if it's not picked up by the end of class, I'm sure it will be. Okay, we have the roll book made out for you today, so I'll go ahead and pass that around. Today's the 14th, so just find the square for the 14th next to your name and go ahead and initial that. Also, I'd like you to fill in a little more than you have. I asked you that last week, too. I really would appreciate that, because when we're closer, I'll be doing board work up here probably today, and when you're farther away, it's harder to hear, and when you ask questions, they don't get picked up in the mic, so I would appreciate that. Now, if there's a desk that's so clunky or small that it's going to be real uncomfortable, don't feel obligated to sit there, but if there's one that's halfway decent and you want to sit there, I would appreciate if you move up a little bit, move in so you're tight this way and close to the front. Thank you. Okay, now today, the main thing that we're going to do is to look at your assignments that are due on the names of the 12 disciples and what they mean, and we're going to work with it, talk about it, and see how you did it, and see what you came up with, and see what we learned from it. But before I do that, I want to give you another assignment, your assignment for next week, so I don't forget. I hate to have to... run it off in the last 2 seconds of class or after the bell rings, so I'll just get it out of the way right now. Here's your assignment for next week. This will be due whatever the next week is, the 21st, I guess, next Thursday. Okay, the assignment is to study the book of Judges, Chapter 4, verses 17 through 22. Study Judges 4, 17 through 22, which has to do with an incident with a woman named Jael, J-A-E-L, Jael is her name, and she does something. She murders somebody by driving a tent peg through his forehead, through his head. One of the more ghastly portions of Scripture. That's not why I gave that for your assignment, but we're going to do something with this. And it won't be anything to do with medical or medicine, so you don't have to worry about that. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to answer the following question in reference to that passage. And the question is this. Did Jael act properly in doing what she did or not? In other words, was she justified in killing this guy, this person, this man? Or was it wrong? Was it right for her to do that, or was it wrong for her to do that? That's the basic question that I want you to answer, okay? Based upon your study of Judges 4, 17 through 22, Jael murdured this man, I think his name is Sisera, by driving a tent peg through his head. And I want you to answer the question, was she right in doing that, or was she wrong? Yes.
Do you want me to send it up to the four verses or five, or can we use other references to get the background?
Okay, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you the steps that I want you to take in arriving at your conclusion in doing this assignment. First, I want you to pick out three commentaries at random from the Bible College Library, and then read what they say on that passage, and then list their position concisely, and be sure to be a good representative of what they're saying. In other words, here's what I mean. Go in the Bible College Library, go to the commentary section, and just at random, pick out any three commentaries that you want, and look up what they say on Judges, and take those three out and read each one, what he says on this passage, Judges 4, 17 to 22. Read what this man says, understand what his position is, how he interprets this act, and then write it down for me concisely, in other words, condense it, but tell me what he says. Don't tell me what you think of what he says. Tell me what his position is concisely, restated. Okay? Then, I want you to make a simple conclusion of each of the three commentaries. In other words, give me a bottom line statement for what each one of the three says. You know, he says it was wrong. He says it was right. He says maybe it was right. You know, that type of thing. So that I not only have a concise statement of his position, how he arrived at it, you know, he thinks that because of this and this and this and this, but then give me the bottom line of the whole thing. His conclusion is dot, dot, dot. All right? Third step. Study this scripture, this passage on your own. Now, I want you to do that first, too. Read it through a few times, but before you look at any commentary. But now, after you've looked at these three, and you've taken into consideration what they have said, I want you to determine what you believe concerning this passage. Arrive at a conclusion, and then, after you have arrived at a conclusion, let's say your conclusion is, just hypothetically, she was wrong in what she did. Okay, that's your conclusion, and you have maybe three reasons why you believe that is so. Now, I want you to go back to the commentary section, and I want you to find a commentary that has the same conclusion, that supports your conclusion, okay, that believes the same way you do on it. Find a commentary that supports that conclusion that you have drawn, even if it's the same as what one of the first three that you picked out at random were, you see. Because maybe one or part or all of those three said the same thing as what you believed anyway. Well, that's fine, but don't use one of them in this part. Find a fourth one that supports your conclusion, okay? Now, here's what I want you to do with this fourth commentary that you have got now. Everybody with me so far? Do you understand where we're at? Okay, with this fourth commentary that you found that supports your conclusion, and in his argument, I want you to list the key points and the key scripture references in his argument. What are his key points? You know, 1, 2, 3, right down the line, briefly. And what are his key scriptures that he uses to support his points? Then, I want you to give your conclusion and explain why you believe that. I don't want your conclusion of your own belief, your own interpretation, to just be, I believe that she was right, or I believe that she was wrong. I want it to be, I believe that she was wrong because, number one, blah, 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 number two, number three, number four, whatever, with scriptures, as much as you can find to support what your statement is. So explain yourself, in other words. Answer why you believe that. Tie up any loose ends. Evaluate each point that you make. And don't base your position on an assumption. And don't just base it upon a commentary per se. See? Because notice the order that I gave it in. I said determine what you believe, and then find a commentary that supports it. I didn't say find a commentary, you know, and then believe just what it says. I said you determine what you believe, taking all the evidence into consideration, and then find a commentary that supports it. And I'm doing this for a reason. You'll find out why, hopefully. All right? So don't base your position on just an assumption, as some of the commentaries you'll probably find do. And then that's it. You're done when you have used those four commentaries and you've answered the original question. Okay? Okay, any questions on the assignment? That'll be due next week. Now, in answer to your question, somebody's question, can we use other scriptures in the Bible? Yes. Because obviously these commentaries are going to be dealing with parallel passages or parallel concept other scriptures, so you can use any other scriptures in the Bible that you want to bring in to support your position. That's fine. But basically, I want you to just deal with the four commentaries and what you come up with. Okay, no questions on that? Let's look at our assignments. Please take out your assignments that were due today. We're going to be talking about them, we're going to be working with them, and we're going to be hopefully learning some elements of Bible research as we go through the assignment, which is the important thing. Okay, the assignment was to find and list the names of the original 12 disciples of Jesus, and then to find the meanings of those names. Would anybody like to volunteer to share their assignment with us? Somebody who went through the steps, who came up with the list and with the meaning of the names, and they remember the steps that they took. Now, you didn't have to write the steps down. You just had to find them. But remember what books you went to and in what order, basically, and how you did it, that would like to share with us how they came up with the names. My, all the volunteers, I don't know where to start. Okay, Genevieve.
Okay.
What was the first thing you did? That's what I want to know. Well, the very first, besides pray or whatever, what was the first thing you did in doing this assignment? Even before you looked at a book or anything else?
I went to the book of John.
Okay.
Just basically skimmed a little bit until we started talking about the disciples. Then I found it was Bartholomew or somebody's name was mentioned. And I went to a commentary and looked that up because it was unusual and found all the places that was used. I went through a couple of the scriptures until I came to Mark 3:16 and found where there was a list of all the disciples' names.
Okay.
Then I put all their names down, and I went back to my concordance and looked them up and found out what meanings they gave that.
Okay. So Genevieve started reading or skimming in the Gospel of John, and she skimmed through it until she saw the names of the disciples. And then what did you do?
I think that's the most unusual one in the list that they had. They didn't have all of them.
Saw the names, and then when she found the most unusual one, like maybe Bartholomew, what did you do?
I looked it up in the concordance.
Okay, why did you pick out the most unusual name?
Because it wouldn't have been used as often as all the others. It's just long enough for Matthew or Mark.
Okay, so a common name like John or Peter or something, you know that they're going to be used more in the Bible, so when you jump into the list and the concordance there, you're going to have to wade through more references to find what you want. But an unusual name is less likely to have a long list after it, so you pick that, and you've already saved yourself a little work in the concordance. Good. So she went to her concordance. Now, what did you do once you opened up the concordance and looked up Bartholomew or whatever?
I chose a few of the verses, the scriptures, to look up and see if they had
Okay, so you just went through, you went through the list, and you looked up the scriptures that used that person's name. Okay. Now, what did you find as you went through the list?
What I mean by that is, you probably found, as you went through the list, that in a lot of those places, indeed in most of those references that you looked up, it was just the one name that was mentioned, perhaps. Well, and one of the unusual names, it might not be that way. When one of the more common names, it might. But it could be that some of the times, at least, that you looked it up, you didn't find a whole list of all 12, did you? You just found the one mentioned, maybe when he first came to be a disciple or something. Did you find that to be true?
It helped, really, to use the unusual name. The reason it helped her to pick up the unusual name is because if she would have used a common name like Peter, who is
talked about so much more in the Gospels, and most people would know that when they're starting out, you would find a lot of times where it just said, Jesus said unto Peter this, or Peter went here and did this, and so you're not getting any help, are you? You already know Peter's one of them, and you want to find the rest of them in the list, don't you? Because you know they're... You know, or at least you're hoping, or you remember somewhere vaguely maybe that they're all listed, see, somewhere in the Gospels. That's what you want to find, right? So she was fortunate by going to an uncommon name, because Bartholomew or whatever she looked up is used so seldom anyway that one of those times is at least is going to be where he's listed, and you won't have to wade through a bunch of the others. You see what I'm saying? All right, so she found a
list, Mark 3:16. Is that the scripture?
Mm-hmm.
And follow. Okay. And there is a list of the 12, right? All right. Then what did you do?
Then I copied down the names and dates and the scripture of all the different disciples, and I went back to the concordance and looked it up where it had the meaning of the name.
Okay. So you copied down all the names. And then you went to what?
The concordance.
Which concordance were you using?
Young.
Okay. Look up meaning in Young. All right. Was that?
Let me critique this, if I can, a little bit. Now, what I'm going to be doing here is trying to... See, I could do this by just saying, here's how I would do the assignment, and take you through all the steps. And you would learn some things that way, but I don't think that it would be as good for you to tell me how you did it, and for us to look at maybe some of the various ones and compare them, see? And so if I point out a weakness, or what I feel is a weakness, or what I would do a little bit different way, it's not to criticize anybody, and it's not even necessarily to say that you did it the wrong way, because one thing that you're going to find in Bible study is that there isn't always necessarily a right or a wrong way to go about it, okay? Sometimes it's just what is more expedient than another way, which way will get you the information faster than the other way, so you don't have to wade through a lot of things. So if you'll allow me to, I'm going to be critiquing these, and I'm not critiquing the person, I'm just critiquing a method, and we're going to hopefully be learning things from this, and I'm going to take questions later this period and problems that you had finding certain information, and we're going to work with it, because I want this class to be super practical. I don't want to just give dry lecture and theory. I wanted you to get right into the thick of it here, and then we'll just kind of learn by doing as we go, and I think that's one of the best ways to do it. Now, having said that, I would probably not, for step one, just start reading through one of the Gospels. And the reason for that is that it would be possible that the list would be near the end of the Gospel. Now, if a person knew in his mind, well, I know the list is in the first chapter or two, then that's different. You go through and it wouldn't take you long maybe to find the list. But if you had no idea, first of all, even if there was a list where all 12 are found, or at least where it was, you could spend quite a bit of time, couldn't you, just kind of wading through the whole book there, going through every chapter to find them. But when she did find them, she found one of the names. She pulled out, she found the list. She pulled out the unusual one and went to the concordance. Or she didn't find the list, excuse me. She found some of the names. She found an unusual name. Then when she went to the concordance, she found where they were all listed, what the scripture was. Can anybody suggest what might be a faster way for step one to start the assignment? Yes. Okay. Just for step one, what? Or let me put it a different way, so that you're not on this on the, you know, hot seat. Just what did you do? Did anybody do it a different way for step one? How you started your assignment? Yes, Chris.
I looked up either disciple or apostle in the concordance.
Okay. So you started with the concordance.
Step one, you went right to a concordance and you looked up apostle and disciple. What concordance, by the way?
Okay, I was at home, so I started off with just the one I had in my
Bible. Okay, smaller Bible concordance, okay. Right. What did you find? What was the next thing that happened?
A reference to the list of the disciples, which was Matthew 10:2, Mark 3:16, Luke 6:14, and Acts 1:15.
Okay, now did you find that just from looking through your list in the concordance?
Yes.
In other words, you didn't have to turn to the passages to read the rest of the passage. There was enough given. It gave enough names after the verses as you looked through the list that you found the one where there were several and you knew that was a list. Is that how you found them?
Well, yeah.
In other words, you looked up apostles or disciples and you found where it said these are the names of the 12 disciples, Simon, Andrew, and you knew you had a list there. So you didn't have to go actually into the Bible text until you found the scripture that you already knew you wanted, and then you went into the Bible and then you had a list right there. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. Okay. That would probably be a little a quicker way to do it, wouldn't it? To go into the concordance
first, and then look up a key word, a word that would get you where you're going.
Now, I'm teaching while we're doing these things, so if something comes up that you want to remember, an important point, go ahead and just jot it down in your notes, just like we were lecturing, because there'll be little tips that you'll be picking up along the way. Okay, you could go to a concordance and you could look up disciple or disciples, plural. You could look up apostle or apostles. What's another thing that you could do with a concordance? Or were you just going to give us what your first step was?
Well, I was going to say, in the apostle, there's a list of the 12 original disciples. The ones who
came to the death. Okay, you cheated. No, you didn't cheat. That's another way you could go about it. I'm going to be talking about several different ways that you could go about it. But that is one way. If you knew that there was a Bible handbook or an introduction or Bible helps in the back that had the list, why, you could go there. I mean, if you're doing Bible study on your own and you want to find something out, does it really matter where you find it as long as you know that what you've got is the information you're looking for? So per se, there's nothing wrong with that. She'll get an F on her assignment, but other than that, everything will be fine. No, not really, Barb. I'm just kidding. Okay. What I was trying to get at in saying another way you could go to the concordance, you could go to the concordance and just look up one of the names of the disciples. You know, almost everybody knows Peter, James, and John. If you don't know any of the others, you know, some of the lesser known ones, almost everybody knows Peter, James, and John. They were on the mountain with Jesus, so you could just take your concordance and go right straight to the word Peter or James, the name, and just start looking down the list. Now, the problem there is that Peter, James, and John are mentioned more than some of the others, so the list is going to be a little longer than Bartholomew or Thomas or somebody, and so you got to look down more. But as you look down that list, did anybody do it that way? Did anybody start by going to one of the names of the disciples in a concordance? And if so, what did you find? Yes. Right, every place that name was used. Mm-hmm. Okay. As you went through that list, do you remember which name you chose first? Was it one of Peter, James, or John, or
Philip?
Was it because you remembered that Philip was a disciple, and so you looked it up, or? Okay. Well, you found the list first, then. Okay. By going where? What was the first thing you looked up in the concordance? apostles. So you found the word apostles, and as you look down the list, right at the beginning there, near the beginning in the New Testament, you found the names listed. So then you went to that scripture and you found the list, right? And then you looked up Thomas from that list back in the concordance and found every place that his name was used. Is that what you're saying? Strong's. Well, you didn't start with Strong's. You started with your own. Okay. You started with your own and you found the list. Then when you had a name to work with, you jumped to the exhaustive concordance and you looked up every place that name was used. Okay. Long as we're talking here, what did you do after that? Every place that it was used. Okay. Did you actually look up every place that every name was used? Okay. You were looking for the list. Is that basically what you were looking for? And maybe any other places that there was a list? Okay. And then you ended up with how many lists? Do you remember? Complete lists, I mean. Huh? What's that? Okay, you had the list from the first reference in the concordance. Now you were looking for the meanings. Like sometimes in the Bible it explains it right in the text. Is that what you're saying? Boanerges, sons of thunder, that type of thing. Okay. Oh, the meanings from the back is what you're saying. Okay. Okay, yeah. There are a few places where the Bible itself says that. It will give the name and it will give what it means. Only a couple, I think, out of all the 12 are that way. And sometimes it's just a term that Jesus used or a name that he gave them. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so far the two basic first steps we've got is just starting reading through a Bible book and looking for the names or looking for the list, or jumping into a concordance and looking for apostle, disciple, or one of the names of them. Now, did anybody else take a completely different tack for your first step than either of these two or variations of them? Yes?
I went straight to the Bible dictionary.
Okay, and you looked up what? Under disciples, okay. Okay. Okay, the dictionary actually gave out all four lists right in it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what you call the way to go, isn't it? It's all right there for you. You don't even have to bother looking it up. Okay, did anybody else take a different way than this? Or was the other hand the same thing, Bible dictionary? Okay. Yes? Okay, so you went back right to the Bible study helps in the back of the Schofield Study Bible, and using the index to those helps, you looked up apostle or disciples or whatever, and then you found a list of the whole thing right there. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, study Bibles can really be a help in Bible study. That sounds like kind of a truism, but I mean... you could think that, well, now I'm in Bible college, we've got all these wonderful reference tools in the library, I don't need a study Bible because there's so little in it. But really, some of the study Bibles, Thompson Chain and some of the others, have so much in them that if you're just looking for, you know, a scripture reference or a name or a list or a place or something, you can get scads of those type of facts in a study Bible, and they can be helpful. Now, if you're doing a deep, thorough, in-depth research paper, obviously, if you confine yourself to any study Bible by itself, you're in trouble because you're not going to get everything you need in most thorough research papers. But just for something simple like this, that can be fine to use that. You don't have to go through some big, long 10-step effort. If you can find it right in the back, that's a place to look first for a simple thing like that in a study Bible. All right? I've got all four of the... lists right here. I was going to write them on the board and we were going to compare them. I don't know if I'm going to take the time to do that. Let me ask this. What did you do when you found the list of names? Did you write them down? And if so, did you write them down in Bible order? Did you write them down in a different order? What did you do? Somebody give me some feedback on that to see what you did with them. Yes. Okay, how many lists did you write down, or did you just make up one list and find one list? And then once you wrote it out, you want to find the meanings of those names. Okay, here's an important point. Here's something that is worth writing down. It's important, whatever method you use to go into this list, that you find every place that the list is listed, that there is a list in the Bible. It's important to look up every place in Scripture. Now, if you were doing an in-depth study, it will be important not only to look up every place where all 12 of the disciples' names are listed, but if you were doing an in-depth study, which you weren't, so don't feel bad if you didn't, but it would be important to look up every place every name was used. If you were doing an in-depth study on who these men were, what were their names interchangeable, was there more than one name for a person, what is the meaning of the names, how are they used, you'd want to look up Peter, James, John, you'd go right down the list. You'd look up each one of those names in your exhaustive concordance, Strong's or Young's, and you'd look up individually each reference where these names are used. Now, of course, that would be a lot of work, but if you were doing a deep research paper, that's what you'd be doing. Now, you wouldn't for this, but you would for that. So I want you to take note of that. But even for this assignment, where all you needed to do was find the list of the 12 disciples and their meanings, what you should have done is found every place that there was a list, and there are four places in the Bible. Matthew 10, verse 2 and following, Mark 3:16 and following, Luke 6:14 and following, and Acts 1:13. Those are the four places in the Bible, yes, where there are all four, or there are four lists.
In other words, it raised a question in your mind, is that what you're saying? When you found the meaning of the name. How? What did he mean when he said that? Okay, I think I am going to write this list at the cost of the few minutes it's going to take, because I want to look at it. This is part of Bible research, finding out what to do with what you found. So Matthew 10, verses 2 through 4. I'll number them right here. First one, Simon Peter. Second, I wonder if I'm going to get all 12 here, Andrew. And it says Peter's brother. The third is James, the son of Zebedee. Fourth, John, and I'm writing him in the order that they are in Matthew, the brother of James. Just abbreviating here so I can get this down. Fifth was Philip. Sixth was Bartholomew. Abbreviated, Bar. Seventh was Thomas. Eighth was Matthew, and it tells you something about him in the Matthew list, doesn't it? Which Matthew himself was writing. What does it tell you?
Publican.
The publican. It tells you he was a publican, which was a tax collector, by the way, if you looked that up, or if you didn't. James, there's another James, but this one is son of Alphaeus, which I'm just going to abbreviate. Then there was Levius, again I'll abbreviate, surnamed Thaddeus. Surname means last name. 11th was Simon the Canaanite. And 12 was Judas Iscariot. Now, here's the way I did it. and this is a good way to do it. I took the four scriptures, I put them up at the top, I made four columns, and I wrote down the names in the order, in the exact order that I found them in all four of these places, so that I could compare them. Now, another way to do it would be, because there are some variations in the order that they're given in the list. One way would be to switch around the order so that all the same names are parallel, but the reason I didn't do that is because, number one, it's easy enough to find out the parallel ones by drawing lines to them if you have to anyway. But by leaving it in the Bible order, you can ask yourself a question: is there a pattern here? Why is somebody always last, or why is this that way, or why is that that way? You can compare the different lists and see, and you can learn something from that. So that's one way to do it. So in the second list, Mark 3:16-19, and we're going to look at this for a minute here. Now I'm going to put a quotation mark here if it's the same, so I won't have to write it out. So Simon Peter, he's the same order. All right? Christ, although Mark brings out a fact that Matthew doesn't bring out. What does it bring out? Did anybody catch that? What? I don't think that Mark's reference brings that out. At least not right in that list, but it does say something else about Simon. That's right, he was given the name Peter by Christ. So there's something you didn't find out, I believe, you couldn't from the Matthew scripture, but in the Mark list, now you find out that he's Simon and Christ surnamed him or gave him as the last name Peter. So that is worth adding. All right? Now, here's the difference. For the second one, Mark puts James. And for the third one, he puts John. Then Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, again, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and last and least, Judas Iscariot. Just to help you distinguish who's who in order. I had one of those ledger makers, it would be neater, but anyway, for our purposes, this will work. See, if you've got a chart, you've got something to work with. If you were just writing these down on little scripts, slips of paper, you can't really see it all at once with your eye, you can't take it in, and so you can't study it as well. So part of good Bible study, well, that's a terrible line. Part of good Bible study is just a chart or some format, some workable format that will help you to analyze all the information that you're studying right on one piece of paper. And so I didn't want to have a bunch of scraps of piece of paper all over and both backside and everything to be able to see what I'm looking at. And so right here, the whole shot is on one piece of paper. Your eye can take it in at one glance and see, compare names and differences that you can. Right off the bat, you can see where your problems are going to be, if there are going to be any problems in determining who's who or what name is what. Yeah?
I don't know how I came up with it, but after Matthew, I had also called Levi, the son of Alphaeus. I don't know if I put it down after the wrong name.
Also, in the Matthew reference, also called what? Okay, let's add that. I didn't write that down. Matthew, but the publican. Also called Levi, the son of what?
Alphaeus.
Okay. Okay, we want to write that down then. Now, there is something about James and John, too, that Mark adds, and it says that they were surnamed Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. So Christ gave them a little a little name there based upon something in their character. And with that, you can compare Luke 9:54, which many of your Bibles would have right in the cross-reference section there in the margin to let you know that. Okay? And if they didn't, you could maybe look up Sons of Thunder or something like that, or look them up in the Bible dictionary and see why they were called that. Now, Peter's still the first one here given, but James is second. He's third on this list. He's second here. John is third, so James and John are still 1, 2 in that order. And then Andrew drops from second to fourth, so to speak. Now, I'm not implying that this is an order of how much Christ loved them or what their spiritual standing was, but there could be some significance in the order. The Bible often gives subtle little changes in things like this in order to teach the truth or to tell you something. And so the differences are worth noting, and so you can see a pattern, or if you can see a truth there. All right, Philip, Bartholomew are in the same order. Now Matthew is seventh in Mark's list. He was eighth there. So Thomas and Matthew are reversed in Mark. And then James, Thaddeus. He doesn't say Levius, but he says Thaddeus, so you know that's the same one, don't you? Because Levius' surname is Thaddeus. So that tells you that. Simon the Canaanite and Judas are in the same order. Okay, let's go to the Luke list then, quickly. Luke 6, 14 to 16. Same here for the first one, Simon. And again, it says Christ surnamed him Peter. Then the same, then we have Andrew, his brother, which now is back in the same order as Matthew. Then you've got James, which is same order as Matthew. So far, it's following Matthew. Luke is following Matthew rather than Mark. John, again, just like Matthew. Philip, although I don't believe that Luke says that John is the brother of James, as Matthew did. I think there's a difference there. Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, and this one says, called Zelotes, and again, I left something out here. Who did I leave off? No, Judas is next. Judas, brother of James, comes next. And then we have, again last, Judas Iscariot. I know my handwriting is terrible, my printing, just bear with me. Then the last list, and then we'll look at the whole thing here, Acts 1:13. These four lists you should have found in the Bible. Okay, Peter's first again. Then comes James. John. Andrew. Philip. Thomas. Bartholomew. Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, put a Z there, Judas, brother of James, and then, of course, Matthias, which you weren't responsible for. That said, the name of the original 12, because by the time you get to the book of Acts, Judas has, committed suicide. He's gone, and the purpose there is to choose another one so that there can be 12. Now, in looking at this list, you need to just take time. If you were studying this and you had this up, and ask yourself some questions. First of all, is there any significance in the order that these names are given? Is there any significance in the fact that Peter is mentioned first in every list? is there any significance in the fact that Judas Iscariot is mentioned last in every list, and it often says who was the traitor or who betrayed Christ? Is there any significance in some of the changes that we see? Luke followed, looks like Luke is close to Matthew, although here's the switch. Matthew and Thomas are in inverted order. And then James, Simon Zelotes, Judas, brother of James, and Judas Iscariot. Now the first thing that you're probably going to notice is, hey, there's some different names in here. Who is who and Zeus is Zeus? I can't figure out what's going on. Well, Simon the Canaanite, okay, the same fellow, no problem. But now, in his place, in his order, we have Judas, brother of James. But above it, one above it, we have Simon Zelotes. So what is the reasonable inference there? That your mind would probably tell you that it probably is the case, that they're the same person, because Simon, that's his first name. Here he's called Canaanite, here he's called Zelotes.
So you would write that down in your paper, check out. Does Simon Canaanite equal Simon Zelotes? Question mark. Further study, you see. And then you see, again, he's called Simon Zelotes here. So two times it's Zelotes, two times it's the Canaanite, but it's Simon all four times. It might be that he's the same person you think, but I want to check that out. Now, here we've got Levius, surnamed Thaddeus. You don't see him here at all. And the question is, who is Levius Thaddeus? Is he Judas, the brother of James? More than likely he is, because he's not Judas Iscariot, and he's not Simon Zelotes probably, and these are all the same all the way through. From here on up, you're dealing with the same men, and the same names are in all four places, so you can't shuffle them around. It's down here at the bottom. And it's likely that Levius Thaddeus is the same as Judas, the brother of James, and again, here's Judas, the brother of James. And it's likely that Simon the Canaanite and Simon Zelotes, just different names mentioned at different times. By the way, what you would find out if you were to look up in a lexicon, or even a concordance, Canaanite, you would find that it's the same as Zelotes. It comes from the same term, and it means that he was probably one of the zealots, who was a particular, prior to his conversion at least, to Christ, a particular sect of person who were zealous for the nation of Israel against the Roman government that was over them and sought to overthrow the Roman rule. And that's what you would find if you were to check that out, and more things in detail. And there's another thing that you would find, and this is if you went to the Bible dictionary. Now here's what I would do. I would go to the concordance first, I would find the list, the four lists, and I would write it out. Then, after I've studied these lists and come up with some possibilities and probabilities about the significance of the changes, and I know that I'm safe on these, even though the order varies, at least I know who I'm dealing with. I know that that's the same man all the way through, and I write down the questions concerning these for further study. And then is when I would probably go to the Bible dictionary, because even if I went to the Bible dictionary first and got the list, I'd probably still end up going to the concordance. And the reason being, number one, some Bible dictionaries will not give you every place that the list is found. Depends on the Bible dictionary. They vary so widely in how comprehensive their articles are. You might go to some, and like the one brother found, he hit pay dirt there. He hit a Bible dictionary that hit all four of the lists, all listed out. Well, that's fine. His work was done. But some don't even give you all these four scripture references, let alone listing them out for you in the article. So many times, even if you went to the Bible dictionary first, you'd end up in the concordance. So I wouldn't be real rigid about which one to go to first, but I would probably go to the concordance first, find these lists, write them out, and then go to the Bible dictionary. And the reason I'd go to the Bible dictionary, even after I've got these lists, is because I'd want to see if I was missing something that they would pick up in their article. For example, one thing that you would find is some other names, additional names than even what you have here, and then their speculation concerning who's who and what these names are. For example, they would say that Thomas is the same as Didymus, D-I-D-Y-M-U-S. I think he's called Didymus in the Gospel of John. I'm not sure. So you wouldn't even be aware of that, you see, just by looking at the list, because he's never called Didymus in the list. But if you're reading through the Gospel of John, you see the name Didymus, and you say, well, who is that? See? And so now this guy has given you some more material that you have to deal with somehow. You'd find out that Matthew is Levi. Now, apparently you would have found that out from the Matthew list anyway. And you'd find out that Simon, surnamed Peter, is also called Cephas, and he's also called Bar-Jonah. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah.
And so now what does that mean? So you have to look that up and find out what that is. So it's much more than even just the lists involved. And then you'd find that they usually call James, son of Alphaeus, James the Less. James the Less. And I believe there's even a scripture, too, in the Bible where he's called James the Less. And so you have to figure out, is this the same man as James, the son of Alphaeus? Is it a different man or what? And then yet another speculation that they bring up in the Bible dictionaries is that Bartholomew is the same as Nathanael. Because in the Gospel of John, notice there is no list in the Gospel of John. He doesn't list it on anywhere in his Gospel, but he talks about him, obviously, individually and so forth. But in the Gospel of John, he never mentions anybody named Bartholomew. But he does mention a man named Nathanael. And so he doesn't mention Bartholomew. He does mention Nathanael. But he does mention all...
Sir, we're bringing us